John chapter 10 this morning. I'll be brief. I want to make sure we leave time here, of course, at the end to observe communion together. And so I will be brief, but I'm going to be in John chapter number 10. And, you know, at Christmas time, most of us practice a certain tradition where we give gifts to those that we love. And you may have wondered why we do that. And, of course, some may say, well, the wise men came and they gave gifts to Jesus when he was born. And that's very true. But I think the reason should go deeper than just the wise men. We need to understand that when the wise men brought their gifts and they laid them there at Christ's feet, it could not compare with the gift that they had been given by God the Father. He gave his son to be the Savior of the world. Last week we read where the angel came and the angel said to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Christmas is a time to celebrate Christ's birth, but it goes so much deeper and farther than this, because 33 years later, the Son, Jesus Christ, gave the most precious gift that has ever, ever been given to this world. He gave his life as a sinless sacrifice for you and for me. He was born to die. I understand that all of us, in a sense, are born to die. All of us in here are going to one day die, unless we're blessed enough to be able to be here when the Lord comes back and catches the church up in the air. All of us in here, in a sense, are born to die. We're all going to one day die. And that's a fact. But it's different with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I say he was born to die, what I mean by that is he was sinless. He never sinned. He never let pride take the place of the Father's will. He was totally sinless. And so death could not naturally take hold on him. Death could not seize upon him as it will you and I one day. Death, it was a very unnatural thing for Christ, because he was the resurrection and the life. He was the embodiment of life. And so in order for him to die, it had to be a deliberate choice, a deliberate act of his will. That's why in John chapter 10, notice that it says in verse 18, he says there, "No man taketh it from me." Talking about his life. He said, "No man takes my life from me." John 10, 18. He said, "But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." It was a commandment of the Father. It was the will of the Father that he give his life on the cross. No man took it from him. Death could not rightfully seize upon him and take hold of him. It was a choice that he made. He knew that he was born to die. He was born to give his life as a sacrifice on the cross for you and I. He was the good shepherd, which is what this chapter is about. He was the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. Look at verse 11. He said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd, notice that word there. What's the next word? The good shepherd what? Giveth. He gives. The good shepherd gives. Christmas is about giving, right? The good shepherd, notice, gives his life for the sheep. He gave his life. Verse 15, it says, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus Christ was born to die. And the Bible tells us why he was born to die. Look with me in John chapter 10 and look at verse number 10. John 10, 10. He says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." He said, "But I am come that they might have" what, church? "Life." The Bible is very clear. All of us in here have a death sentence on us. The Bible says all have sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. It's very clear. It's very simple. Very easy to understand. We are all going to die physically one day because of sin. Sin will deteriorate our bodies. Sin is going to bring condemnation to these physical bodies. And one day, sin is going to take its toll on these bodies, and we're going to die. One day, we're all going to die. But even deeper than that, the Bible says that when your soul and your spirit is separated from God forever, the Bible calls that the second death. So there's a first death in which your body dies. Then there's a second death that sin brings, whereby your soul and spirit is separated from a holy God because of sin. But praise the Lord this morning that Jesus Christ gave his life that we might live. He took our place. He died for us. Hey, God fully demonstrated. He commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that something to rejoice about today, huh? He took our place. Now, we understand the idea of taking the place of somebody else, don't we? Maybe you want to have off a day at work, and so you get somebody to take your place at work, and they're there in your stead. They're there in your place. You know, maybe you get hurt and somebody has to take your place on the ball team, you know. Maybe I'm sick and someone has to take my place here and preach in this pulpit. And we all understand that concept of substitution. That is that somebody takes the place of someone else and stands in their stead. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ died for us. He was our substitution. He took our place. He died the death that we should have had to die. He died in our place. Jesus Christ came to deliver us from the fear of death. You see, a lot of people are scared to death of death. Amen. They're scared to death of death. And you know, rightfully so. I mean, that's a scary thing to think that you're going to die. And the Bible says, listen to this, through death, Jesus Christ destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The Bible says that he came to deliver us from the fear of death. The Bible says that he gave himself for us to deliver us. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4. So there is no reason that you have to fear death if you know the one who conquered death. Man, if I know the one that defeated death, if I've got the one living inside of me that's already conquered it, already defeated it, he's already taken the teeth out of it, man, there no longer can bite me. Praise the Lord, if you know Christ, you do not have to fear death. Amen? You don't have to worry about putting your head on your pillow and not waking up. He's the door. Look at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door of the sheep. Look at verse 9. I am the door. By me, he said, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and go out. He shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, I am the door. He didn't say, I am a door. He didn't say, I'm one of many doors. Folks, this is not let's make a deal. Amen. Pick your door. Door 1, 2, or 3. He is the door. Listen, folks, he is the door. You know, you look at that door, and that door wouldn't be much good without a handle, would it? You know, it'd have to have hinges. It's got to have a handle. You know, if it was locked, you'd have to have a key. Otherwise, the door isn't much good. Can I submit to you? Jesus Christ is the door, which means he's the door, he's the hinges, he's the handle, and he's the key. He's everything. He is the door. He is the door to heaven. You can't go any other way. It's not going to work. You cannot go any other way. Look at verse 1, same chapter. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Folks, listen, he is the door. You cannot go any other way other than Jesus Christ. You cannot get to heaven any other way. That's what this is all about. That's why we celebrate his birth. That's why we celebrate his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead. It's because he is the door. He has opened up the way to heaven. Folks, listen, it's not one of many doors. He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Listen, you can try to get to Jacksonville by getting on 95 and heading south, but how's that going to work out? You can end up in the Keys. And if you keep going south, you're going to end up out in the ocean, amen? You're not going to get to Jacksonville going 95 south. And you are not going to get to heaven any other way other than you having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it, period. He said, I am come that they might have life. But let me go a step further. Not only life, look at verse 10 again. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more, what? Through Jesus, we not only do we have life, he wants to give us an abundant life. Do you know what abundant means? Abundant means superior in quality, excessive, exceedingly, beyond measure. Jesus not only will save your soul, praise the Lord, he'll put a smile on your face, contentment in your heart, love in your eyes, and cause a sweet peace in your mind. He gives you an abundant life. You know, I like my cousin Melvin. He's from Louisiana. And my kids always get tickled whenever he leaves me a voicemail because he always starts out, "Hey, cuz, this your cousin Melvin." And he's from Louisiana. All my kinfolk are from there. And he's something else, I tell you. And did I play that for you the other night? It's my old cousin Melvin. And he sent me a text. And the text said, "You should be so filled with Jesus that if a mosquito were to bite you, it would fly off, singing, 'There's power in the blood.'" Wade, you liked that, didn't you? I read that to Wade the other night. He got tickled by that. Woo! Praise the Lord, man. We ought to be filled with Jesus. He didn't just come to give you life. He came to give you abundant life. He came to fill you, man. He came to live inside of you. He didn't just come to give you fire insurance. Anybody in here get excited over getting insurance? Anybody come in, you know, and say, "Woo, what are you so happy about? I got car insurance yesterday." Nobody gets excited over having car insurance. You got to have it. You pay it, but you're not happy about it. Amen. You know, "Yeah, I got car insurance." No, man, you're excited about getting in that car and going for a ride. You don't get excited over the insurance. And when Jesus Christ saved you, you know what he said? He said, "Get in, man. I'm taking you for a ride." Amen. He didn't just save you to give you fire insurance, keep you out of hell. He came, man, to take you for a ride. He came to give you abundant life. He came to give you an abundant life. If your life isn't satisfying and it's missing something and you don't feel fulfilled and you think, "Man, I'm on the short end of the stick," I want to submit to you, it is not Jesus' fault. He came to give you life that is an abundant life. Not only does he give life, he calls you to enjoy life. Doesn't mean life's perfect, but Paul said we're exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations. 2 Corinthians 7:4. I mean, man, you know, that verse we read in 1 Timothy, when we were going through 1 Timothy this year, "He giveth us richly all things to enjoy." I'm going to tell you flat out. I'm just going to tell you flat out the way it is. I think you ought to enjoy life. Now, that doesn't mean sin. I've had more fun since I got saved than I ever had before I got saved. I'm talking about good, clean fun where you can wake up the next morning and not feel guilty or have a hangover. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about good, clean, honest fun, but I'm talking about enjoying life. Man, don't be a whiner. Be a shiner. Amen? Be a sunshiner. And when I say sunshiner, I mean S-O-N. Let Jesus shine through you. Man, life's too short to go through life whining. "We got this problem." I am so thankful I'm not married to a whiner. Almost said wino. That too. Amen. Glad she's not a wino or a whiner. Amen. No, I mean it though. I'm so glad I'm not married to a whiner. Denise is so positive and upbeat. I never hear her whine or complain. You know, life's too short. Do y'all believe he came to give you an abundant life? You believe that? Well, then seize hold on it. That's your inheritance, man. You got the Savior. He came to give you life and give you an abundant life. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit's all about. The Bible says in Galatians 5, he came to set you free from the works of the flesh, anger and hostility and wrath and friction and that lack of peace, you know, and he lists all the different things, the drunkenness and fornication and all. He came to set you free from all that. And then the very next verse says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's the kind of stuff Jesus came to give you. Love. He came to fill your heart with love, with joy, with peace, with goodness. Goodness. Gentleness, meekness, faith. That's the kind of life that he died to give you, is life, abundant life. And then one final thought, look at verse 28. He said, "And I give unto them," what kind of life did he say there? eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know what the best part is about this wonderful life that Jesus Christ gives us? The best part about it is, yes, it's life, and yes, it's abundant life, but man, it is never ending. It's eternal. The Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Jesus Christ, listen, God promised that he would offer eternal life to you before the world ever began. And listen to this, he made a way for you to have it. He gave his son, and the son gave his life. Once you come to Jesus and you open up your heart to Jesus Christ and you believe on him for your salvation, you become part of God's family, and nobody's going to boot you out once you get in the family. Listen, my sons are my sons. Nothing can ever change that. They are born into my family. They may disappoint me. They may hurt me. You know, I may hurt them, but you know what? We're family. We, for better or worse, we're family. And once you got saved, you became a son of God, Galatians 4 says. You became a daughter of God. And once you get into the family and you become a child of God, listen, God is never going to boot you out of the family once you're in the family. Listen, you're family, man. And Jesus said, I give you eternal life. You shall never perish. We all have an eternal soul that's going to live forever. We're going to have a few short years on this earth, and then we'll die. And we're either going to live eternally with God, and we're going to live eternally with Jesus Christ in heaven, or we're going to be separated from God's presence eternally in what the Apostle Paul said, everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. You say, that doesn't sound like a God of love to me. That's where you're wrong. If I drive my car and I come up to a canyon and I say, well, man, who put this canyon here? This is terrible. Well, I'm just going to go anyway. And I take off in my car and try to jump the canyon. And phew, I go down and I die. Who have I got to blame for that? Myself, especially when all I had to do was look to my right and somebody built a bridge to go across the canyon. And all I had to do was take my car and go across the bridge that was provided for me. Can I submit to you, Jesus Christ has built a bridge for you to get to heaven. If you fall off the canyon and you die eternally without the Lord, that's not God's fault. He's built a bridge for you. That is the bridge right there. Jesus Christ gave his life for you. He died for your sin. He gave himself for you in your place so that you would not have to die, so that you would not have to spend eternity apart from God. He died in your place. He built a bridge for you across that canyon of sin, so that you wouldn't have to fall off in it and die. Now, you can choose to not take the bridge. That's your choice. Nobody's going to make you walk across that bridge. But the Christmas story is this. God loved you so much, he gave his son to die in your place. So that if you will believe on him, just trust him, you can spend eternity with God forever. And that's how much God loves you. You were created with a free will to choose. God didn't program us like robots. And so I encourage you today to choose Christ. Choose life. When you choose Christ, you choose life. When you choose Christ and you believe on him and you trust him, you choose life, abundant life, eternal life. Don't we have a great Savior? I love Jesus. I hope you do today.